and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 511. I'm Adam, and
Ben with me.
And here's Ben Shoveler.
I can't live in that.
Wrong Doctor Who.
Wrong film.
I know, but do you know what? I came out of my little studio to come and watch 42, and I realised that then the new one was on, and I started watching that instead. So I've got nothing to offer tonight at all, as per usual.
Debbie Melrose.
Collision alert. 58 seconds to fatal impact.
Or maybe to the end of the show, because Kirby's not on tonight. Mary Lang.
You're defrosting.
Right, so yes, I'm going to, obviously, I did promise that there, as everybody's seen, or in seeing the episode of Doctor Who that finished here in Britain about 15 minutes ago,
yep.
Mary's sort of coming Master. Towards the end of it.
Master?
Yes?
Master?
Sorry, I was having a Kirby. Something just came over me.
Right, I'm not going to talk.
Hammering down with rain here.
We'll talk about it a bit more next week, because Kirby will want to talk about it, but I did quite enjoy it, but all I found distracting, what gave me a little bit of a headache, was the overabundance of background music while they're engaging in conversations.
That was very
having a tinnitus. It was like, let's listen to what they're saying, you know, too much.
That too. Yeah, not only the accents for me, but yeah, music, definitely.
On the whole, it was very gripping. But apart from that, I felt the music
really
ruined it.
I really enjoyed it as an episode of Doctor Who. It was a great start.
Yeah, it was a good balance of drama, bit of horror, bit of comedy, bit of silliness. But all over the place to a certain degree, but maybe, I don't know, just trying to introduce too many characters all together all at once. But
it's
quite nice to have.
Can you hear that?
No, I can't. My expectations are quite low, so it gave me the opportunity to quite enjoy it. And also nice to have new Doctor Who on the telly to a degree. John Bishop, I thought, was okay. And I think someone's trying to ring the doorbell, and I'm not taking any notice of them because we haven't got a blimmin' pumpkin outside our house. They might have heard that.
You haven't got a doorbell.
If you haven't got a pumpkin outside, then the rule of thumb is they shouldn't come and disturb you.
That is correct. No pumpkin.
That never happens here. We get disturbed, whatever.
Oh, no. But yeah, it might also be the wind flapping the door, the thingy.
A squall has just come over.
But Deb's unplugged the doorbell, so that should put pay to
it. We do it with the porch lights. If your porch light is on, that means you're giving candy. If it's off, they leave you
alone. Sadly, my front door light is on because I'm doing the show, so behind me is the door.
Chocolate isn't being eaten by anybody but me.
The other thing I liked about Doctor Who was the cosplay of Star, but of course I got the sex wrong because Star's a girl, and the dog in it was clearly a boy. Dan Starkey was in the episode. I presume he was playing the dog because he didn't not like the Sontaran.
Well, but he sounded like the Sontaran.
Oh, did he? Kirby would give me the exact facts on it because I couldn't work out who the character names were or anything. But it was okay. It was pretty good. Right then, let's talk about.
Can I tell you what I thought as I watched it?
Go for it.
Because, like, as I've been banging on for ages, I'm not going to watch it. But as I just mentioned, I came out to watch the other one, and this was on, so I watched it.
Yeah.
And I've got to agree, it was actually very gripping. I was gripped. And I have 11 minutes to go before the end of it.
Now, I don't want to issue spoilers. By the time this show goes out as a podcast, most people would have seen it. I thought the Weeping Angel bits were done very, very well, I have to say.
They were very good.
The bit that
I thought one of the best things I thought about the episode, it was very Dr. Light. I thought that worked very well.
You enjoyed that part of it, did you?
I did. I'm not a big fan of the
Jodie.
The female assistant, whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah, she's a bit of pain, isn't she? I don't think she'll be around much.
Yeah, she's just not very good. Wasn't massively impressed by Jodie Whittaker. But I thought John Bishop was very good.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. I didn't know he could act that well. We're very impressed.
Absolutely. I wonder if Doctor Who's got any experience of casting a very funny comedian as an assistant before and it working massively well.
Has happened a couple of times, hasn't it, to be fair?
Don't know. If anyone can fill me in on that, that'd be lovely.
Right, 42. Although I can't get this to work. I keep on clicking on 42 and it's playing the Doctor Who Extra Inside the World Tour. And I don't want that one. So I don't know what my Apple TV is doing. It's very, very, very irritating indeed. Unless
they don't even list Dan Starkey as being one of the cast members.
Maybe he's not in it yet.
Yeah.
All right, I managed to get 42 up, although it's 45 minutes and 28 seconds, but never mind. The episode begins, just to reiterate for our viewers and listeners, 42. We've gone away from the first episode of Flux, title of which I forget, which we'll talk about a bit more next week. Probably not, because Kirby wants to talk about it. I think we've covered it quite well, but maybe a little bit more detail next week. Might even have two episodes to talk about next week. But 42 starts with the Doctor and Martha in the TARDIS. So we've obviously have to remember that Martha's mum's got a sort of believes everything she's told by a complete stranger, that the Doctor's a baddie, and maybe that's what mothers do. I don't know. Anyway, the Doctor is fixing Martha's phone, so it's just like Rose's, so she can phone her mummy, who probably tells her.
What? Fixing it like Rose's, so it was a Nokia 8510?
Well, to do the same function.
Oh, right, sorry.
So she can phone anywhere in the universe, anytime. And so the Doctor then does some rather theatrical TARDIS flying by putting a foot up on the console and pulling some levers.
The dramatic flight of the TARDIS, yes. Yeah.
And they land
nothing
in
changes.
A... Sorry. Oh, I thought I interrupted. They land in a sort of... smoky environment, or it could be steamy, I don't know, but it's quite hot in there anyway, and immediately start investigating. And then some...
Martha?
Yes.
I'm watching it now. It's definitely steamy, not smoky.
Okay. And then a couple of sweaty crew members run by in a bit of a panic, one of which is Cindy from EastEnders, who
can
was...
Can I break in here right now? I'm gonna pull a Kirby on you here.
Yeah.
Reading about
it. Can we have a master, please, Mary?
Master? What I find hilarious about the making of this, and I want to say it early because it involves the whole episode, is this was filmed in an abandoned factory in Wales in January. And so the cast is all covered in like baby oil to look sweaty, but it is so cold in there that they had to reshoot a lot of scenes because the cast members' breath were misting, you know, in the cold. Right. And that Michelle Collins had just got back from a vacation in Bali.
Oh, dear.
Where it's nice and warm, and she had not acclimated yet to the cold.
So she got a cold.
Great and word, Mary.
They had to reshoot a lot of her scenes because she couldn't stop shivering, like really hard shivering. So they had to bring in special heating things to stand around her so that she would stop shivering.
Oh, that's a bit mean on the cast, isn't it? But yes, that's so very good facts there. See, Kirby, if you listen to the show, Kirby, that's how it's done.
Oh, look at that. A bell within 7 minutes. That's pretty... That's like Paul Hollywood giving a handshake for the first
time. It is, indeed.
Yeah.
Alan T. Butcher says, the new episode will definitely bear close study. Well, I would imagine it's going to be extremely long close study. And then Robert Vince Jr. says, hi, everyone. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween, one and all.
Happy right, Halloween!
Right.
Don't be so childish.
Is it Michelle? Kept slipping on the oil on the floor and falling down.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me either. Anyway, so stuff's going off on the spaceship. It sort of seems to be careering towards the sun. There's some great sort of shots of them looking through windows and the ship sort of going off into the distance. And that triggers the title sequence. And I think the crux of this story is the 42 is it's supposed to be continuous 42 minutes from the start of the story to the end. Am I correct?
Yeah, supposed to be. And it's also the meaning of life, the universe and everything, apparently.
Yes, that's what Kirby says. Anyway, one of the crew members...
No, I don't think it was Kirby. I think it was from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, but Kirby would keep saying that.
I don't think Kirby can take credit for saying
apparently
that.
Apparently he's a big fan. I don't know if that's been said before of that and
Kirby?
The show.
No.
Anyway, so there's something's happened to Michelle Collins' husband. He's come back and he's... been a bit infected by something or other, and so they go and sort of investigate initially why the ship is sort of heading towards the sun and they don't seem to be able to stop it, and also the fact that this chap, Michelle Collins' husband, has gone a bit funny. Well, he's not actually
shot.
Funny.
He got shot.
He got shot
Cindy
by
Beale's
what?
Husband got shot. Ian Beale got shot.
Not. Anyway, Robert Vance Jr. says yes, and then he says like the series 24.
Yeah, except the series 24 always had a clock on the screen so that you could see the time passing.
Ah, yeah.
Well, I had to do that obviously because of the ad breaks and the fact it was only 47 minutes long.
It's interesting that it's 24 and 42. Is the number swapped around? Is that true? And that's deliberate, Mary?
No, it's because that in Britain, a TV program that is meant to be on for 45 minutes will run for 42 minutes, so you can get 90 seconds of advert of promos either side on the BBC.
Anyway, her husband is writhing around in agony and being helped by some woman with very thin eyebrows. It's probably overplucked.
Lady from Sherlock.
Who is it? I don't know. I've never seen Sherlock, I can tell you. And she also has her hair up in a bun, which is there specifically so when she does get burnt to death and we see the burnt outline, the bun is there.
We definitely know it's her, yeah.
We definitely know it's her, yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well have had a name badge on her.
Yeah. Anyway.
A red sweater in Star Trek going on the planet, is it?
Anyway, so they basically, you know, something's going to happen to her. See, they've sort of given her a tranquilizer and left her in there to look after him and sort of study his body to find out what this infection is. So you know something's going to happen to her. Meanwhile, there's exterior shots of the ship plummeting towards the sun. Martha gets friendly with one of the crew members. It's a bit of a sort of almost like a romance that begins. I do apologise. I don't know much of the names of this story. I did when I was watching it, but I've since forgotten them because I've watched another episode of Doctor Who, which has sort of made me forget the name. So I think anybody who's watched 42 will know who I'm talking about.
You've only got enough room in your brain for one set of Doctor Who.
I've only got enough room in my brain for the notion of getting some chicken fried rice. I don't have a lot.
I had some KFC last night.
Did you?
Yeah,
she's felt ill the last two times she's had it.
I had a KFC sandwich for lunch today.
That sounds odd.
With gravy and everything.
Gordon Ramsay, very proud of this suggestion that was what I had for lunch, actually. It was a baguette cut in half, and then you spread Doritos mild salsa dip on it, and then put a grated Cathedral City mature cheddar on it, and then grill it. Wow, so tasty.
Yeah, I think a KFC chicken sandwich beats that.
Does it? Actually, I do. I agree. The fillet
chicken
burger.
Sandwich with. I had gravy in my sandwich. Are we not getting that?
Ugh. I had crumpets.
I bet you did. Right then,
Debbie, stay at this.
You have to lower the tone, don't you, Debbie? Right then. Sorry.
Yeah, always.
Even lower the tone, or lower the tone even more. Anyway, so they're. Martha phones up her mum, who then we find is being coerced to try and keep the line open because Mr. Saxon is wants to find out a bit.
There's
that
something dubious about him, yeah, no mistake.
Yeah. But Martha orders her mum.
I think you'd make a good prime minister.
Yeah. Well, not a good prime minister, a typical prime minister, I think, is more accurate statement. Anyway, yeah. So she basically
a good prime minister
to get through the doors to get to. I think they're trying to work their way to the engine room and get the engines restarted. For some reason, they've put a code on each door, and one of them was who had the most number one singles of Beatles or Elvis. So she asked Mum to
Elton
to
John.
Google it.
It was Elton John or the Beatles.
Was it Elton John?
Yeah.
No,
I thought
it was
Elvis. Elvis.
I thought it was Elton John. Oh,
okay. No, it was Elvis. Oh, dear, Debbie. That's going to have to result in one of these. Oh, not one of those. That's the wrong button.
No,
sorry.
It isn't.
One of these.
I've got it wrong.
You've got something wrong. Yes, it gives me the opportunity to do that.
It couldn't possibly have been the Beatles versus Elton John because the Beatles have had 17 or 18, if memory serves, and Elton John's had one.
What you also get in this bit is the fact that they were all drunk when they asked the questions and they've since had a crew change. That's what I quite like about this bit.
Anyway, so he opens his eyes and they're a bit bright, and he fries the poor bun lady who had a very short time in this episode of Doctor Who, so I hope she got paid the full price.
What's that Bright Eyes Burn the Bunny lady?
No, Bright Eyed Woman. The Bright Eyes. And the man, you know, Michelle Collins' husband is burning with people. So the Doctor teams up with Michelle Collins and Martha goes off with her fancy piece. And Michelle Collins' husband does a really poor cosplay of a stormtrooper, but because his helmet's all sort of red and not... I suppose it's Boba Fett. Anyway, he goes round and he's got this little flippy thing that you can flip up and burn people with. So he goes around burning, well, frazzling people with his hands and then staring at people and burning them that way. And Martha and her fancy piece leg it and find their way into an escape pod. And unfortunately for them, the stormtrooper now, I'm going to call him stormtrooper because Kirby's here and he can't stop me. I'll rephrase that. Kirby's not here and he can't stop me.
It's not a stormtrooper.
Not a stormtrooper.
Anyway, and they get ejected into space, much to the Doctor, who turns up just, well, not quite in the nick of time because he misses it. But he's able to sort of...
He was 4.73 seconds late.
Well, he was about to look into the flip the chap's eye thing up, but the other bloke, because there's now two of them, it's her husband, gets sort of frozen by some air conditioning unit, which then has a knock-on effect of disabling the chap the Doctor was just about to get killed by.
More than disabled, they call him dead.
Well, he didn't die, though, did he? He
comes back to life, but they say he's dead.
He warmed back up again. They thought he was dead. Anyway, there's a very atmospheric, I suppose, which is quite ironic considering there was in space and there wasn't any atmosphere, as Martha's little pod drifts away.
Very good, sir.
And you see the Doctor shouting but not hearing, going, I'll save you.
I'll save you.
It's really, really good.
Arsenio Hall.
But that was a very good bit, that. Anyway, this is good. It's going well. God, we've got so far through.
Master, yes? We've had ones go better.
Have we?
Yeah, no, have a look to see at the list of podcasts to see which one has gone better.
Oh, right. Episode one.
I'm just checking through the list now.
Episode one, yeah.
Anyway. We want dates and times.
Yes. Yep. Anyway, so Martha thinks she's about to die, so she phones her mum up again, and the Doctor therefore gets into a red spacesuit because he's in a bit of a mood. He's determined to save them, but so he's going to go outside and throw the rather stupidly placed manual switch, which is really difficult. It's really stupidly placed switch. Anyway, so he's going to go out there and do that. So she phones up mum and says goodbye, but they're still being sort of having their call listened to by Mr. Saxon's very attractive crony.
It's about with you, Adam, isn't it? Every week.
She's very pretty, though, isn't she? She looks like the girl off Countdown, Rachel.
Rachel Riley.
Yeah. Sorry, Mary.
Okay, the original plan was for the Doctor to do a full spacewalk to the outside of the ship to find the demagnetizer, whatever he had to find. But that turned out to be too expensive.
I had a funny feeling you were going to say that. There's going to be money in there somewhere. I thought there was a bit of money spent on this episode, but I thought it was quite good. Lots of computer graphic CGI spacecraft flying special effects. Anyway, like we said, the Doctor goes out and presses a couple of buttons and overstretches and I can't do it. He does do it because he doesn't know how much time anyway.
He
presses the button, then the magnetizer brings the pod back to the ship. But at this point, he stares into the untempered schism. Oh, sorry, no. He stares into the sun and realizes it's alive. Gordon, I think they called it, the sun, and it's alive. That was a reference to Flash Gordon. Anyway, so he now has been sort of affected.
I thought you meant James Gordon.
He's been affected And he's sort of burning up inside himself. And he's a few people in this episode have said that it was Michelle Collins's fault, this whole scenario, what this predicament there in is. And now the doctors say, well, you've taken its heart, basically, because they're using for fuel and stuff like that. So now we have definitely established that it's Michelle Collins's fault, and they have to get the doctor to the medi unit to freeze out the whatever's inside him. While they're not looking, the original husband of Michelle Collins comes back to life, and he's there because when Martha...
Is he the face of Beau?
Pardon?
Is he the face of Beau?
He might be. You never know. Anyway,
the doctor's coming back to life.
Yes, he does, but not for much longer. So the doctor's laid on this machine. And
be Kirby.
Yeah. And Martha flicks a switch and listens to the doctor going, ow, ooh, ooh, ow, and stuff like that. But unfortunately, Michelle Collins' husband disables the whole thing by smashing it to smithereens, and the doctor starts melting again. And there's only 4 minutes left at this stage. I've done really well. I'll just move on a bit. Yeah, so the doctor is really trying to hold back the monster inside of him. And Michelle Collins
decides... Aren't we all, darling? Aren't we all?
Michelle Collins decides at this point to sacrifice herself while also taking her husband with him, and throws the airlock, and they go out into space, holding hands in a romantic fashion. And the doctor, he gets taken over by the monster inside him that says, burn with me, sends Martha to dump the fuel, because the fuel is what they've nicked off the planet. And they're going to dump the fuel and send it back to the sun, not the planet, I beg your pardon. And they do that. And all is saved. They even get a little bit of a push away. And it's funny because they had this sort of computer saying things like chances of survival 0% and stuff like that, just to sort of emphasize there wasn't much chance of it. But they did, and everybody, apart from the ones that died, lived happily ever after. The young chap had one last little flirt with Martha and has a bit of a snog. Lucky him. Right at the end, everybody else looked really awkward in the background, if you notice, when they have their little kiss. And off they go, and Martha calls her mum again, and they move away for their next little mission, which we know is very good. Right then, so I'm just going to talk about very quickly about 42. I have to say, and we always pick holes in the sort of smallest little things, because we're podcasters. Now, if I wasn't a podcaster, I wouldn't even bother about the small little things that might be a bit silly. Because this is a very, very gripping, claustrophobic, well-acted story. And I was really literally on the edge of my seat watching this. It was so good. And after having three or four episodes of this series, which we did sort of mention weren't that good, this one's back on track for me. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm a bit disappointed in Kirby that people like Robert are able to send in feedback when they're not on the show and he can't be bothered. But no, I think this is actually rather good. Do you remember this one, Ben? Do you have any opinion on it?
Well, as you've been skating through it rather rapidly.
Going through it at the correct pace, I think that's the statement you're trying to get
out. Well, you say that. But in the time that you've gone through it, I've watched about half of it, and I've had about three ad breaks on Daily Motion, which doesn't help. And what's even more amusing
it's
about
on
it is
player.
Whoever's put it on there has... put it on, they've just recorded it and they've not flipped it, and so they've recorded it off the telly, and so everything's backwards as you're watching.
Ben,
it
it's on iPlayer.
Yeah, I did have a look for it very quickly, but you know, I didn't find it. I didn't remember too much about it, really. I remembered Michelle Collins was in it. I remembered everyone looked hot and sweaty. I didn't remember too much about the story or what was going on about it. And after your little skate through it there, I still don't remember too much about it, even though I'm watching it at the same time.
I don't think I missed anything. Nobody interrupted me, so I presume I'm sure Debbie will tell me.
Of course nobody interrupted you. He's watching Phantom of the Opera.
Well, surprised he's not starring in it.
I'm surprised he's not dialing in, mate, making sure that it's all going all right. It's like he's never going to hear this because he's not here.
Someone's damaged my bell.
Yeah, don't say that too loudly. Or go to the doctors, one of the two.
It's Ben. Someone must have trod on it.
Yeah, I wonder who that could have been, and whoever it was, well done.
It still works. It just looks a bit like someone's trodden on it. Have you done? I was going to move on to Debbie.
I rate this one as...
Okay. Don't remember it much.
All right. Don't tell me.
I wouldn't even go that far. I wouldn't want to give it and it's all right and I don't remember it. It might not be that good.
I never asked that to play that piece of music. So
that's
I do apologise. No. I was selecting it ready for just getting ahead of myself and it just played it randomly. So I do apologise. No, carry on, Ben. Sorry, I just got to find Debbie's introduction music.
I don't have introduction music.
Yeah.
Oh, you do now.
There it is.
It's like you're getting some.
I used to have that piece of music.
And that's Terry and June.
I'd rather the good life.
Oh, that's equally good. I'll give you.
Well, it's not exactly music, but Debbie does have an introduction sound effect, which is this one.
The past is another country. 1987 is just the Isle of Wight.
You're not that up to date there.
I didn't know that was my theme tune. Theme words, I'll take them. Well, this, I actually rewatched it whilst answering the door to innumerable trick-or-treaters.
That's a word,
and
isn't it?
I managed to watch it in between answering the door. And it was really good. I remember watching this the first time around and being pretty much gripped with the pace of it, the race of it, everything. I like the idea of it as well with the sun and, you know, the whole burn with me concept. Isla came in and didn't like it, so I walked out again. So it's a good monster if that does that. And I think we're obviously building up to something, obviously, with Martha's mum being, helping Mr. Saxon. And, you know, we know what's coming, but the little teasers in it and... the trouble is, it did to me feel a bit like the episode, you know, the one, what's it called?
The Satan bit. Yes, Satan, I was going to mention that, but I didn't want to stamp on your fire.
Yeah, she's at the end of the world, calls her mum, you know, that sort of thing.
It was very similar to Satan, but I just feel this was a bit more enjoyable. The Satan bit was two-parter, wasn't it?
This was a rollicking, running through corridors episode of Doctor Who with really... funny little asides that shouldn't have been that funny, like with the questions, but it was enough of a pace. It was a smart pace throughout with the 42 minutes, and I thought they'd try this concept maybe a couple more times afterwards because it was rated as really high episode in this season series, but they haven't done it again, and I thought they would possibly give it another go, at least with Matt Smith era, but I find the concept was brilliant. I loved the ship that they were racing through. I loved that whole... I know it's all almost like exact scenery of the Satan pit, but it was just a bit more rollicking, more fun. You're more invested in these people you've just met. And that the funniest bit shouldn't have been the funniest bit, the bit with her burned into the wall.
Yeah.
The whole angle of it.
It was very Tom and Jerry, wasn't it?
You know, it was just, let's put the silhouette here. Bonk, done. Fantastic. The music, I thought, I know some people think this one, the music's really loud, but I actually really liked it in this. It added, heightened the drama and also felt like a clock going. That was the whole thing with this music. It was time ticking, but to the beat of the music instead. And obviously the computer... counting down to getting to hitting the sun, which is basically our 42 minute timeline being taken down. I thought that was a good concept as well. I loved Martha in this.
She was very good.
Martha's brilliant. Yeah, but Freeman is fantastic in this one. But the doctor just seems to be hamming this one up again, especially with all his feet on the TARDIS and things like that. It just seems he's parodying himself when we know what's coming. There's much more serious acting coming our way from Tennant, But this one just feels like a bit of a rollicker, and it is a gap filler, but it's a brilliant gap filler.
As far as him hamming it up, I think there was obviously the annoying sort of over elaborate TARDIS controlling. Other than that, I thought he was fine.
There's an awful lot of big dramatic. Rah, 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 from
it was adding to the tension of it. But yes, I suppose yes.
That's him being
the Doctor. That's how he did the Doctor.
I think though, if the Doctor is panicked, it's supposed to reflect on the audience. If it makes, oh God, if the Doctor thinks they're in trouble, maybe they are in trouble. That sort of thing, you know.
Well, if the Doctor thinks they're in trouble, they're in some serious doo-doo.
That's what I was getting from that.
I get that, but I do find that sometimes he's so nuanced in his acting, and then sometimes he's over the top, and this was an over the top one for him.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie.
I love it. I loved it. 4 out of 5 for me, this one. I really enjoyed it. Second time viewing. I don't know what I thought first time, but second time viewing.
I'll just have a look through the spreadsheet and see what you thought of it last time.
Exactly.
It's funny you say that, because Ian Kirk says Adam missed my Isle of Wight joke 9 years ago and would do well to miss it again. Well, that's all right then, because I did. Right then, everyone. No, do I have to do? I thought it was obvious what was coming up. Go on then, Mary.
Well, you know, at first blush, the conceit of a 42-minute episode, you know, being done like in real time, it seems really good. And I have to say, the way that they cut it, you know, back and forth, and the cutting back and forth in scenes kind of accelerates as the episode is going along. So the pace, you know, really picks up, and all that of it is, I think, really to be admired. And it did catch me, but unfortunately, as it's going along, I just kept finding myself going, oh, come on, that can't happen. Or, oh, that's crazy. One thing is, when the computer is saying that they have 30 minutes, 50, they have 29 doors to get through. The first two doors take 2 and 3 minutes, respectively, to get through.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, you know, at this pace, they're only going to be maybe halfway through when they burn up. You know, so how they got all the way through the rest of the 27 doors in under a minute each, I have no idea, especially since we learn early on, as Debbie mentioned, that the answers were, you know, like a pub quiz. And the cast the crew members have changed. So I had a real hard time buying the fact that they could get all the way through those doors in time. Another thing is those freeze machines. The stasis chamber is wide open to to all surrounding areas. Martha is leaning in, as is everybody, trying to hold down whoever they're trying to freeze. And they're not being
frozen. They're not being frozen.
not even their fingers. You know, nothing else gets frozen. Which
is all the Vaseline they were covered in.
and at first I thought, you know, gosh, it's so hot on that ship. And yet the Doctor never once takes his coat off or anything. He stays fully dressed. And then when I read about how freezing cold it really was in there, I figure, well, no wonder, you know, he would want to. He's probably the only warm one on the set. And something that I also learned, while the rest of the cast was freezing and having to redo shots, David Tennant and Freema Ajima were in a cozy studio recording Infinite Quest. So they only got to join, after they've solved some of the super freezing problems. But, you know, and just the construction of the ship, if the engine is at one end and the alternate engine room is at the other end, and that is a skinny little ship, you know, with 29 deadlocked doors in between, I'm asking myself if it's a freighter, that they carry a lot of freight, where do they put all that?
Yeah.
Appear to be anywhere on the ship.
You are so mean.
And then at the end, when they jettison all their fuel to get rid of, you know, the parts of the sun that they're getting rid of, and then it's like, oh yay, here we go. You know, we're I'm thinking, well, you don't have any fuel. How are you getting out of there?
I think that was explained briefly.
Yeah, and once the ship turns around and starts to leave, I mean, they've been drifting into that sun now for a while, and it is so hot. But the minute they turn around, the minute when there is like zero chance of survival, all of a sudden the lights change, everything looks cooler, and they're all going, oh, yeah, here we are. We're going to be okay. I'm thinking, no, you can't change that fast.
Yeah.
So it is good. The basic story is good. But there are just so many issues that you could drive a truck through that I found myself in bumping this down quite a bit from what I originally thought.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. All right, then. Thank you,
Mark. Thank you, Kirby.
You've got to believe something.
Right. So Ben has volunteered to do Kirby's Facebook feedback.
Have you, Ben? Well done.
Oh, apparently I have.
That's what it says here. Ben Shaveler, Kirby Bartlett Sloan, I will step up to the plate and be the pedantic one during the recording. I'm sure that's more or less a volunteer, because he says that someone else is going to have to read these comments. And part of your comment was, I will step up to the plate. So away you go.
There I am. I'm just looking at it myself. Mm. Well, Robert's put on a picture and says, in replacement for Kirby, Mr. Jingles. There's a little picture, little video thingy of a cat with glasses on meowing at the screen, wearing what looks like a little bow tie, which, if you've ever seen Kirby's photo, if you squint, that's all I'm saying.
It was close, wasn't it?
There we have Tim Dury. Saying,
oh, hang on. Whoa. Sorry.
What? Tim
Dury. Carry on.
What was that?
Tim Dury's mention.
That was Tim's jingle.
Surely Tim Dury's jingle should go, Tim Dury, Tim Dury, Tim Dury, there's nothing to be scared of.
Yeah, that's very good.
See, look, we do live jingles on this show.
You might be one.
No.
Yeah, I will. Actually, I've got a whole song coming for you at some time, Debbie. So.
No,
I have, because I left you out my last song and I felt so bad about it. You'll need a whole song to yourself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
I am.
Yeah, you're right, Tibby. Tim Dury says, have few memories of this, apart from the guest appearance by an EastEnders actress and some odd ideas like the pub quiz question security system. Oh, and burn with me 20 megabytes.
Burn with me.
Sorry.
Burn with me.
I've been practicing. Neil James says, 42, this is all very Doctor Who-y and very orange. Yeah, it is actually very. That's the most appropriate comment so far. I like this episode. I predict the writer, Chris Chibnall, will go on to do great things. In fairness, he did. Broadchurch is still a fantastic achievement.
No, it ain't.
The first series was. After that, I think he went very downhill after the first series.
Yes.
The 24 homage with the story playing out in real time is certainly a gimmick, but it does add excitement and a literal ticking clock. I enjoy the mix of sci-fi and horror, and the added emotional element of the killer being the captain's husband works well. The side plot of Francine being shadowed by Saxon's goons adds the mystery, and the score is pretty epic. Oh, and Martha pulls. Go on, girl. A decent story which possibly gets overlooked due to the four frankly breathtaking episodes that follow it. 3 stars out of 5. Mm-hmm. Robert then puts a Robert Wentz puts a picture of a moon and a spaceman sitting on it, which looks a bit like the spaceman in the Matt Smith era.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
I wonder if that's why. I doubt it. And then says, yes, 42, The Meaning of Life. This is one of my favourite episodes, one of stories, and how appreciate to watch it on Halloween morning. Kind of set up like the Series 24 with a countdown clock. The best part I liked was when the Doctor was taken over by the living Seymour. Oh, no, I've got to click Seymour. That's what it is.
The living Seymour. Is that a new villain?
Yeah, that's a new villain. Before taken over by the living being from the sun, and the Doctor was thinking he may regenerate before being inside him might activate the process. Above average story, my rating is 3.5 out of 5. That's a whole half star more than Neil gave it.
Kirby just messaged me saying intermission.
Yeah, does he want to come on and do the last two?
No, he's not going to come on and do the last two. Carry on.
I'll do them then. Billy Kirkbride says, I arranged to watch this with a view to sending some feedback, but I fell asleep. Too busy down pit, I've been getting all that call from Australia. I might be reading around it.
Just a little.
Gosh, this doesn't seem to hold much hope for the apparent new series about to air. After a recent series put out by Chibnall, I'd rather snack up worms down bottom of the
car. Yeah, you do a good Billy.
I have to admit, I didn't even realise Chibnall wrote 42. So I tell you, it was rubbish. Rubbish, take it all back, rubbish. Carry on.
This is the problem. The ones that then eventually take over and ruin Doctor Who do all the really good episodes.
No, Debbie. Chibnall, before he took over Doctor Who, mostly wrote terrible episodes of Doctor Who and terrible episodes of Torchwood. So this was just,
this was a lucky one.
But even with this one, he's copied the Satan Pit.
Everyone's got one song in them, don't they?
Anyway, Ben.
Brandon Moore says, any number that reduces to one when you take the sum of the square of its digits and you don't continue iterating until it yields one is a happy number. Any number that doesn't isn't. A prime number is a number that is both happy and prime. Now type it in. I don't know.
It's half the script of the first part of the story, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. Yes. Do I have to read all that? Because
no, just pick up the 42 by Chris Chibnall bit, I think.
It says 42 by Chris Chibnall,
which I actually prefer.
Chibnall?
Yeah. he's a new writer. And he says he really liked the Doctor being played by David Tarrant as well.
is he related to Chris Tarrant by any chance?
We don't want to give you that. At 42 by Chris Chibnall. I wonder who is reading the Facebook, or should it be Meta?
Very good, Brandon.
Very
topical.
It's me, Brandon. It's me. As Kirby is off to the theatre somewhere to see The Phantom of the Opera is there.
Inside your mind.
Turn into Billy Kirkbride at the end there. Just but don't worry, much like the Phantom of the Opera, Kirby is here inside my mind. That's a worrying thing, isn't it?
Yeah, currently.
For both Brandon and Kirby, I'd
say. Yeah, and then it gets worse.
I've just seen that bit. I hope Debbie is reading this. I like Debbie.
Oh, all right.
Wow, sod you, Brandon. Debbie. Go on, Debbie. Take over. I'm not doing it.
No. I did first. I went off doing other things.
I'm just in the process of throwing, all of my toys out of the pram. So.
Okay. Trying to see all the different comments.
Don't get distracted. Today would be nice. Do you want me to play some incidental music? Hey?
I hope Debbie is reading this. I like Debbie. Is that where you want me to...
This is a very orange episode. I remember...
Go on, then. So this is a very orange episode. I remember finding the idea of an episode set in real time very exciting as a child, but it mostly didn't work, as the time pressure is pretty arbitrary and irrelevant to the plot. The spaceship is nice and grungy, but the cast do look a bit too baby oiled up at some points. Also, the guest cast slipperiness also seems to apply to their ability to stick in my memory, as I remember very little about them. Rosa Parks got burnt to death by the sun, though. Crispy. Yeah, I like the idea of the living sun, though Chibnall takes a good idea and makes it a bit too cartoonish and oddball with the whole burn with me thing.
Very good, Debbie.
As for the spaceship scooping up the sun to use as fuel, hey, there's an idea we could suggest to that COP26 lot. I like Martha in this episode, and her phoning back to her mum gives us contrast between the present-day mundane and the far-future sci-fi concepts that are similar in approach to the end of season one. And I like the scene where she is scuffled off in the shuttle. Maybe the porthole communications could have been clearer if Martha had taken the mime lessons from Donna.
Well, she has a phone, and the doctor has a phone, so why can't they just talk to each other?
I like the pub quiz questions to get through the doors idea, but it's one element too much in plot that's as overstuffed as a Christmas...
Alexa, shut up.
Did I set her off again?
Yes.
And ultimately, it feels the most ancillary of these elements. And like the aforementioned turkey, it's all just a bit undercooked. This is still by far the chinchilla's best entry in the universe. 7.5 out of 10. Wow. Oh, and speaking of Chill and Ball, the new series starts this evening. Why the hell is it on so early? Apologies.
Yeah. And why is it on a Sunday?
So I'm a bit behind. 6:25 is way too early on a Sunday evening for everyone to be watching, in my opinion, especially on Halloween. Yeah. Won't most of the kids be out trick-or-treating?
They will.
They were. I will be watching the episode until after you've recorded the podcast this evening, because beforehand is just way too early. Not that I'm particularly enthused to watch anyway, really. To steal a phrase from Alan T. Butcher, as some might say...
No, I'm not going to do that one. That's copyrighted.
I think that was Noel Gallagher who said that first. Alan T. Butcher.
Alan T. Butcher.
Oh, go on then. Go back. Hang on. I'll do a special one because Brandon's taking the time to write into the show. Go back to the bit before he says some might say. Go on.
Okay. To steal a phrase from Alan T. Butcher as...
Oh, bugger.
Oh, this is slick.
Slick and slick. Oh, hang
on. There we go.
Whatever. There you go.
Whatever.
And then it's Ian Kirk's script.
No, yeah, we won't do that because that I already have that in audio format.
Who1.co.uk have attached something to the bottom as well.
Sorry?
Who1 have added a link at the bottom of the comments as well.
Have they?
They have. Oh. Doctor Who book specialist.
Hang on a second. No, I didn't add that.
Who added that then?
Ian.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Ian added that via his script, which we're just going about here, just about here, indeed. Start again. Audioly presented. I will not even say it.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Yay!
42 by Chris Chibnall. Chibnall's first Doctor Who story. It is a bit one note, the ship is doomed. But the original Star Trek used to do one of those every year. The captain is Cindy Beale from EastEnders. I bet Jeff Bezos never sends her to the edge of space.
She was in Corey too.
And Joe Ando phones it in as Martha's mother. By the end of 42 minutes, Martha has fallen in love with Riley. Perhaps that was a Leela tribute plot point. There was an American TV show called 24, which took place over 24 hours each year. Computer voice comments on such trivia as airlocks opening, but when they finally get the engine to fire, it does not mention it. I think the amount of matter a spaceship could take from a star would be like you losing one blood cell. But it is a fantasy sci-fi TV
yes,
programme.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
The doctor says he can withstand a temperature of 200 degrees below zero. That is really cool. And now... here is what I had to say when we reviewed this story 9 years ago. The TARDIS has landed in the vent chamber of the SS Pentallion. The Doctor wants to use the TARDIS as a lifeboat, but the chamber has been filled with hot gas. At the end of the episode, the Doctor says the TARDIS is hardly singed. The episode is set aboard a spaceship in the Taraji system. The Doctor says this is half a universe away from Earth. He must mean half a galaxy. The space helmet has lights inside. This allows us to see the actor's face and stops us seeing reflections of the camera crew. The title 42 is probably a reference to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Indeed.
Yeah. Where 42 is the answer to the ultimate question. In another book of that series, the characters are trapped aboard a ship that is about to crash into the sun as part of a rock concert. Captain Kath MacDonnell has the same first name as Captain Catherine Janeway of Star Trek Voyager.
Ah.
Incident.
The sun is alive and the ship has taken part of it. If the ship crashes into the sun, it will get the missing part back. Martha has them vent it into space and the sun releases the ship. The captain pulls a possessed human out of an airlock. Later, in Midnight by Russell T. Davies, the hostess will do the same thing.
Right.
There's a subplot involving people who work for Mr. Saxon, who are looking for the Doctor. The Doctor is responsible for the fall of Prime Minister Harriet Jones, so he played some part in the rise of Harold Saxon. Siri, why are there so few horses on the Isle of Wight?
There are few horses on the Isle of Wight because people prefer cows to ride. I have found one horses who are in the local area, okay?
Did you say whowon.co.uk?
No, I said one horses who are in the local area, okay.
Bye for now.
I don't remember Siri sounding like that. Thank you, Ian. It's nice to everybody. You have to commend Ian for reducing the planet's carbon signature by recycling old feedback. So well done. Right, I hope Ben's not sulking too much. Right, where do we go? Oh, yeah, it was Debbie. Debbie has got some blurb to dictate.
The Doctor takes Martha's mobile and gives it universal roaming. Charges will probably bankrupt her. They arrive on the spaceship Pentallion, which is having a slight problem. They are crashing into a sun. So, small problem then. Oh, look, it's Cindy Beale. Linda says she was in EastEnders. Mary, know her.
And Coronation Street.
She owned a pub.
Yeah.
The ship is in lockdown, so they have to go get from where they are, at the wrong end of the ship, to the other end, but the doors are all locked. They have to answer questions to open each door and only have 42 minutes to do it before they burn up in the sun. Watching this, I had a flashback to a STNG episode. Kirby will know this one. They had a Romulan ship with an entity in the engine core. I hope they can fly that ship with only two crew. There is an election on Doctor Who. Vote Saxon. This one was a good romp, but too many deaths again. At least two of them survived. Another two-parter next week. Ooh, scarecrows. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Well, thank you very much, Linda and Terry Miles. And thank you, Debbie.
Absolutely.
And don't sulk, Ben, because...
I'm not sulking.
Because Mary's just about to do Councillor Alan T. Butcher's... Like the old days, Mary. Do you remember how to do it?
I'll have to brush up here.
Pick up a comb from you.
Into it, Mary.
All right, go on.
I will not do it nearly as well as you do, Ben.
True, but
you'll probably read it without falling over it like I do.
Lower expectations right off the bat. Okay, well, Alan looks like he's gotten a little political here, but then what's new? Okay. More than a touch of heartburn, or it's time to cop two. Dear 20 megabiters, 42 is, of course, a closely studied examination of corporate colonial exploitation of resources,
yes.
The effect of which on indigenous inhabitants are not recognized or mitigated. The exploiter can leave themselves in danger, just as the local ecology is, and here the Doctor serves as a conduit to disentangle the exploiters from their folly. But there is a serious toll on the senior exploiters engaged in the scenario, which constitutes a cautionary tale. Some may recognize...
Oh, for God's sake, Alan! Some may recognize... We can't go... Some recognize! Can we? That's a word!
I think you'll find, actually, it was Noel Gallagher that got it wrong, and he wrote the wrong words.
Some may recognize a parallel with the early industrialized powers, some of whom resist their need to take responsibility for their wealth, being founded on such exploitation, leading to the current global climate problems. Now, if those problems are to be successfully addressed, then a major burden must be borne by those beneficiaries if efforts like the current COP2 event are to be successful as a conduit to avoid global disaster.
Yeah.
It should be noted that whilst some may say...
Hang on, whoa. Go back.
What?
Start again.
It should be noted that whilst some may say...
Mary.
He said may say. If he's written may
might say... Might say. It says might say.
He's done it deliberately.
No, he hasn't. It says might say.
Whilst some might say...
How's it going without me, by the way?
Not well at all. Not well at all. It should be noted that whilst some might say they could not declaring himself scared was quite out of character. In fact, he's never had a living star embedded in him before, and that was never going to be resolved with Alka-Seltzer, and he knew it. So give him and the writer a break. We also learned that Cindy Beale ended up making even bigger mistakes than her marriage with Ian Beale and creating a dodgy love triangle with Ian's half-brother, Simon Wicks, and another affair with Simon's brother, David, and later paying to get Ian shot. Whilst doing well in becoming a spaceship captain and becoming personally less unpleasant, her choice of activity brought big trouble to her and her crew, particularly her. All in all, 42 is a fairly limited story, which has the virtue of being a slightly experimental format. The continuous timeline narrative easily achieves its goal of introducing an urgent imperative into the story, which the cast takes full advantage by playing it for real. This goes a long way to cover the serious lack of credibility for the alien creature's physical existence or behavior. The ubiquitous peril simply makes the question, why, entirely beside the point, given the gruesome deaths expected by all throughout. The disjunction of Martha's conversations with her mother further counterpoint the relative situations for them and neatly allows a link to the overarching narrative of the season to which we are approaching ever closer. Mm. This story is perhaps 8 minutes too short, because everyone loves a nice round number, and 42 doesn't turn out to reference life, the universe, or everything. Mm. Next up, Doctor Who and the Murder of John Smith, or Magical Vengeance, is apparently easy. Those are my thoughts. Ellen T. Butcher.
Yay!
Well done, Mary.
It's yours, Mary. I've retired.
Right. Back to the live feed. We've got Ian Kirk says, one TARDIS key for each sonic screwdriver. That's replying, I think, to, I wonder how many TARDIS keys the Doctor had. That's Robert Wench Jr.
I thought he was asking what was the latest promotion at the petrol station.
And then Tim Drury. Oh, that's Ian Kirk. Wrong tune. Hang on. Sorry. Jim Drury says... After the new one that says Tim Drury's second mention, or maybe Tim Drury's mentioned again. Anyway, he says, main thing I remember about 42 is why would you lock a door with a pub quiz question? And then... He says, tonight's Doctor Who was a jigsaw about a picture on a box. There you go. That's the one that doesn't give any spoilers at all for people who haven't actually managed to watch it yet. So well done, Tim. Right. I think that's about it for feedback. I just checked that nothing's come through late on the email. Nope. And we've had nothing from Robert either, unless somebody knows otherwise. I haven't been checking the 20 megabyte chat page. Anybody get anything from Robert? I'll take that as a no then.
Hold on. Let's have a look.
Yeah, I would think so.
I think there's something on there.
Send feedback to our page.
Mm-hmm. Let's have a look then. If there is, Ben, if you would mind doing your best, Robert, that'd be great.
It's quite long.
I beg your pardon?
That's what she said.
I think Ben should read this.
I think Ben should read it too.
Here's my feedback. 42. Now, why is that a familiar number? Why is that a familiar number? I'm not at all
confused
by
this. Don't forget
story.
To have a coughing fit halfway through it.
Okay. And it's written by Chibs. I wonder where he got the sense of Corwin burning Ashton with his hands around his head and smoke pouring out. I bring you... Jesus, this is like reading Alan T. Butcher's.
Sutek.
Thank you. I bring you Sutek's gift of death to
I
all
love that
man.
Line. One of my favourite ever to Doctor Who lines.
Is that meant to be mankind on everyone in Manchester?
Some might say.
I noticed something weird when Martha and the Doctor had just left the TARDIS and noted that it's hot. Martha takes off her jacket and they cut from behind them and the jacket is nowhere to be seen. Just disappears mysteriously. Also, it is... why is it that when the camera looks at the countdown clock, it is only then that you hear the countdown announcer impact in 3:43? Or is that Man United's new formation?
Who knows?
And chooses random numbers to announce rather than at 10 or 5-second intervals. And something that really annoys me, while the Doctor may be able to survive such heat with only 20% shields left, I don't think his spacesuit would. And the biggest pile of crap, there's no shading on windows or spacesuits, yet they can look out the sun without going blind at such a close distance. It was a dull sun. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So, a living... Yeah, I was watching all about them in a program I was making up in my head. So, a living sun. Surely the show wouldn't be as stupid to pull another living celestial body stunt now, would they? Getting so tired of the treating the Martha/Doctor thing like a girlfriend moving in with her own key rubbish. Treat the character of the Doctor like he's an alien he is, not make him just like every other human. Tarrant's too bloody camp at times, and it's really getting to me. While I love the music, it's too damn loud.
Yeah, like today's episode.
And there's far too much of it. Shows these days are cramming so much music in, it's spoiling atmosphere and dialogue. Call me Mr. Grumpy now, and that's our great friend Robert Grumpy.
So well done, Robert, for filling in that section a little bit more for us.
Which Robert now Grumpy.
Allows it, Robert try and remember that, because I'm bound to forget it next time he's on the show. Right, so we now move on to Doctor Who News. This isn't going to be a long section.
There's not been much, has there? Even though we've got the premiere tonight.
Yeah, though obviously over the next week or so we'll have viewing figures, all three or four of them. That's how many? Probably about five of us watched it, so that should be up there somewhere.
Mine hasn't counted yet because I haven't finished. So
TARDIS Volume 17, Issue 3, which is the Doctor Who Appreciation Society, has published the latest edition of its features-based magazine, TARDIS. What an imaginative name. Called Contact Has Been Made. And for more information, I think you can go to a link which is available on DoctorWhoNews.net. The other bit of news on here was, well, there isn't any, to be fair. So I'm going to have to look forward to next week where there might be some more news. Right, so what else? I can't guarantee that Kirby will like the story, although he is usually quite enthusiastic about brand new episodes, but he will like references. And I will also predict that he won't like the new Sontarans, or even though they're very much more like the Sontarans from the classical era. Right, so that leads me to whoone.co.uk.
What's that?
Now, if you're listening to this episode before the 5th of November, you won't be able to order anything because they're shut. They're shut between the 1st of November and the 5th of November 2021. But when they open again, you can buy things like 5th Doctor Lost Resort, which looks like a big Finnish production featuring the 5th Doctor, my favourite, and Ashes of Eternity featuring the 9th Doctor, and 10th Doctor Dalek Universe 2, featuring, surprise, surprise, the 10th Doctor.
Still a black.
And, as we're coming up to it very far, we talk about Mr. Saxon, don't we? The War Master, 6 Killing Time, featuring Sir Derek Jacobi as the War Master. There's loads of other things. There's 9th Doctor stories coming out, and a couple of Torchwood audios. But we were sort of gloss over the other things that Who Won Sell, like the books.
Master. And Master.
Yes.
There is a new DVD coming out, another box set.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm sure WhoOne.co.uk will sell at some point.
Web of Fear?
No, season 17 of the Tom Baker series.
Is that written, the Blu-ray?
Script edited by Douglas Adams, The City of Death. That series is coming out on DVD, and there's loads and loads
of
really
good specials. Sure, it's not coming out on Blu-ray though, Ben. I'm pretty sure it's already out.
Oh, well, it might be Blu-ray.
Yeah. But yeah, there's Bernice Summersfield, there's Books, there's Sarah Jane Adventures, a complete box set, Torchwood audios that Big Finish are churning out. And there's Doctor Who collector items like Target books, New Adventure books, Missing Adventures books, Telos novel, whatever that says, BBC classic series books, and non-fiction books. So lots and lots of stuff. Browse through the menu at whoon.co.uk. Lavazi.co.uk have stuff to buy your Doctor Who fan for Crimbo. We're just about to move into November. We're sort of nearly in the Christmas season. If you run a retail establishment...
Tomorrow, Adam, you know what will happen. All the shops will start playing Christmas music tomorrow.
Yeah, well, if you move into November, you're essentially in Christmas season. Especially in retail.
For my online radio station, that's the Indie Rock Disco Radio, the irdradio.com, if you want to tune in, which I would
do. Doing a plug. Sorry, Ben, I talked over you.
I was
Ben?
Yeah.
I talked over your links. You can do that one again, sorry.
You talked all over my link, which is... Right, it's the Indie Rock Disco Radio. No one talks over me, because I just carry on. The irdradio.com. Anyway, I was making all of the Christmas jingles yesterday. It was really weird. I had a whole day of Christmas stuff. It was mental. It was the 30th of October.
And I apologise for Debbie talking over your link just after I apologise for myself talking over it. But well done anyway. Right then, so you can also get Star Trek bobble hats, which are rather cool, along with the umbrella, with featuring the various department badges for Star Trek and scarves and... what have you, and Star Trek Next Generation scarf is also available from lavazi.co.uk, along with, you'll be surprised to hear this, Doctor Who stuff, like the laptop.
You have a Doctor Who scarf, maybe stuff, in two lengths.
Stuff, yeah, you can get, yeah, you get a short one or a long one.
Really?
Fourth Doctor.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
No, Lavazi. And they also do a tie, which is sort of reminiscent of the scarf, if you want to wear an odd-looking tie. Along with a Christmas beanie, a Christmas jumper, which I will warn you, even if it says XL, it's actually the XL one is more likely to fit somebody of a medium body build. Oh, but,
not one of those sizings again,
yeah,
shame.
So it's very much Amazon sizing.
Adam finds that with most clothing.
Don't be cheeky.
The XLs don't fit anymore.
And, of course, you can get the 7th Doctor jumper, which is probably one of the most iconic jumpers in the worlds of Doctor Who. And if you want to, probably the most useless item on the... Bear in mind, this is a time travel program, so it may not be that useless, but a 2021 diary you can purchase. It does say sold out on it, but you can purchase from lavazi.co.uk. And, of course, if you want to do fan fiction, you want somewhere to submit it, join their blog. They love it. That's lavazi.co.uk.
Well, with the diary, Adam, someone might have a really, really busy November and December planned and need a diary immediately.
True.
Had a really, really, really quiet year so far. Now need a diary. Yeah, they know where to go. That's lavazi.co.uk.
Indeed. iwheroes.co.uk.
You can click that and use that.
Yes, thank you.
That was good. That was a good advert for
it. Was a very good, to a degree. iwheroes.co.uk. If you live in the UK, you can order stuff online, and they will send it to you.
Offline.
Because it's part of that thing.
Online.
Yeah, I know. Like graphic novels and comics, because they're a comic shop. I always forget to mention this. They sell comics, and you can get them through the postal system here in the United Kingdom.
I didn't know they actually... We're talking about heroes, aren't we?
Yeah.
I didn't know they sold food and drink from around the world as well, because my goddaughter came around the other night for supper, and she bought loads of stuff from Heroes.
Oh, yeah, they do sell some unique items, shall we say. Also, they sell Funko Pops. I've probably never mentioned this before. And there's a massive array of Funko Pops available at the store. New releases, I'm just clicking on that to see what comes up. There's this thing that's very odd looking thing. It says Funko Pop Vinyl Marvel Holiday Hulk. It looks like the Hulk, but made into a gingerbread man sort of thing. They've also got Funko Pop Vinyl Doug Days, Doug with Squirrel. Doug looks a bit like Star, yeah, actually, to be fair. Stars, obviously, a lot of people get influenced by Star and want to cosplay as her in Doctor Who and create little characters out of her as well. There's some rather cool... There's another cool one here. It says Funko Pop Vinyl Iron Man 2. He's sort of in a sort of bit of set with his sort of helmet up. And a visor. It's not a helmet, it's a visor, so you can see Stark's face on it. There's so many things here. I'm not going to mention the whole, all of them on the show. I beg to pardon? Beg your pardon? I think I need a drink. My mouth's gone.
Speaking like a 1960s BBC TV presenter, mate.
My mouth has gone. I'm just replacing my upper teeth because I can't speak all of a sudden.
Don't take the mickey.
Well, the thing is, though, Ben, I think it's really weird because my brain is in sort of... be ready for interruption mode, and it's thrown me. I've just lost the plot.
It's just not happening. Yeah.
No, it's so.
Amazing is we've got through the whole podcast in 8 minutes today.
Yeah. I've just clicked on a future page. There's a really cool one that says it's Funko Pop Vinyl JLSC Dark Side on Throne. I don't know what that is, but it looks really cool.
Pop band JLS.
Browse through the Heroes website and you'll find some really cool stuff, especially if you want to buy somebody something for Crimbo. I'd just like to reiterate to anybody who's listening to this show a little bit later on, we're going to Wales Comic Con in about 3 weeks' time. Fingers crossed, I've got some wood to touch. That's sort of.
Can I also point out that it's good to buy stuff for Christmas at any time of the year that you might be listening to this podcast.
But we're hoping to find some really cool stuff there.
It could be like March or like July when someone's listening to this next year, Adam, and you've just like promoted Christmas.
That's the thing about Quadcast, but I will say at Wales Comic Con, Michelle Collins is going to be there. Isn't that exciting? I haven't booked anything.
Can I just say, for anyone who's listening in the future as well, I really enjoyed Wales Comic Con.
Yeah, but I say, Michelle Collins, I haven't booked any meetings or photo ops with her because she was going to be a guest at Fantasy Con that would have been yesterday. Mm-hmm. But,
it would have been. Yeah.
It would have been, yes. But there you go.
I did my own one.
Yeah. That's essentially it for the show. Next week, hang on, I closed down Apple TV. That was a bit silly because it had next week's episode.
Are they paying you? Because that's the third time you've given them a plug this show.
Given who a plug?
I'm not going to say them, but the Granny Smith makers TV.
Apple.
Ah, that's five.
It's difficult not giving them a plug when that's the name of the service. That was a bit.
Refer to it from now on as Granny Smith's TV.
Oh, good grief. Wait, unfortunately, people are stupid enough to then Google Granny Smith's TV and see what they find, don't they?
Yeah, and at that point, I'd have made a website that costs some money to click on. And I'll make an absolute.
Do you know what you're talking about websites, actually, Ben? When I come up with ideas, I note them down on my Apple phone called iPhone, funny enough. Oh, God, I've just lost me. The note I made this afternoon, the reason I'm looking at it is I've forgotten. This is why I make the notes, because I forget them. It's a brilliant idea. You know, you've got this, and me and you can actually, I'm going to share this one with you, Ben, because I know you're sort of in the world of media and you understand the prospects of media ideas. You know, we've got this massive thing called Sky TV, which seems to own all the really expensive aspects of media in this country.
Right.
Yes. Well, I've come up with a brilliant plan. Set up a company called Ground TV as a sort of opponent to it.
Right.
Okay, well, I thought it was a brilliant plan. Obviously, it's not as good as I thought it was.
And so how are you planning to raise the billions of pounds you'll need to
just
roll
the... Just the mere concept of something that's a complete opposite name.
I mean, I hate to do a Kirby on you and be a little pedantic over a tiny little point like several billion pounds, but the question remains...
Well, they didn't have several billion pounds when they started.
They certainly had a lot more money than you're starting with.
They need to be trying to buy the Premier League rights.
You're trying to slay the giant.
Wow, that's worth it. That's a good. I think it's a great name for a media network, don't you think?
I'd prefer something, I don't know, maybe along something fresh, something new. Something,
ground TV?
Something Virgin, maybe. And Virgin Media has done a very good job in installing their television service into my studio.
The only problem with that, I'd love to come along. And if they'd like funny to thing give is, it's already, a bit of money already something off our called the Virgin field, TV or Media or whatever. This is a new name, Ground TV. Ground Media, even Ground Media sounds good. Right, copyright Ground Adam Media. Pearson, 2021.
Are we not meant to be talking about Doctor Who? Mary and I are going to sleep.
Oh, be quiet, you.
Oh, we're trying to
generate the idea for a multi-million-pound.
Oh God, Adam! Whatever you do, don't call it Ground Media. There's already a creative agency called that, and they're in Washington. They'll sue your ass.
Darn. Okay, right then. Well, that's Scottish.
And then they'll not understand you when you say darn.
Right, next time I'm just going to see if it's next week because I have to check my diary because I'm. You're quite a busy chap. This is October.
Can you squeeze us in next week? Can you?
Yeah, can you squeeze us in for a visit?
My goodness, I haven't got anything in my diary for the next.
Adam, are we doing both episodes or just?
Yes,
one?
We're going to have talk. Give Kirby the opportunity to talk about episode one of Flux, title of which I forget. A little bit more detail, but not too much more detail. We might even refer to the episode that's on next week, because that's what we like, just to keep everybody happy. And then after that, we will do, and it's going to keep you lot working, we've got a two-part story to review. It's called Human Nature, Family of Blood. And I did mention at the beginning of the show, I really like that one.
We can't do next week, unfortunately, because we're all going to see a black and white screening with an original organ soundtrack of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So don't tell Kirby. He can do it by himself. He'll be sat there for hours twiddling his thumbs, wondering where we are. And we'll all be sitting there going, "Oh, you pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, we love you."
All right then, stuff coming through on the live feed. Robert Bench Jr. says, "You kids get off my lawn, lol. You kids get off my lawn, no." Well, I don't know what that means. And then he says, "I had trouble with the text." I can see that. I was replying back to your last feedback. Thank you,
but
Robert.
Let me understand this. So next week we're going to talk briefly about the episode that came out today.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Okay, and then we're going to talk about the two-parter.
We might mention the episode that's on next week as well. Just mention it. Just give it a gloss over.
Half an hour late again to allow people to watch.
Yes. Well, at least this time the BBC has a sense to put Doctor Who on before Strictly Come Dancing, because that's what used to affect the timing of Doctor Who. It's all over the place. Hopefully it will be a set time of 6:15 every Sunday, which is makes sense. Also, the sun's going to be set and everything. So hopefully people will guess it's on. And by the time we get to the seventh episode, people will be, darn, there aren't seven episodes. Never mind.
The time for the next episode has not been set yet, is what you're saying.
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing it's still 6:15. I think you said 7:15.
Okay. Hold on. Let's have a quick look.
Oh, you got next week's book.
I'm just having a look on
it's not out yet. Have a look.
I'm looking on the EPG on Sky? Previously mentioned Virgin Media, and it's on at 6:15.
Yeah, not everyone can afford 6:15. The radio times anymore.
So the plan is...
No, it was always the TV times for me, I'm afraid, there. But anyway, it's 6:15 till 7:15 next week.
Oh, crikey. Okay.
Okay, well, that's what we're doing next time. We're doing basically 7:30 podcast. And that on that podcast, Mary, it's going to be Human Nature, Family of Blood.
Which
will jump us through to episode 11.
First episode of this most recent season.
Yeah.
Okay. But not in great detail. It's just going to talk about it and say what we thought of it in a fairly sort of...
A bit more than yes or no, yeah.
More of a sort of concise sort of way, if possible, before embarking on Human Nature, Family of Blood. So, until then, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants. Scarecrows.
Truly scrumptious. You're truly scrumptious.
Burn with me.
Burn with me.
40 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.